The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to that place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Christian friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus, who is the Christ of God. Amen. I've decided to use this second letter from, or the second reading from 1 Peter today, not only because I don't like to preach on John, but that's a whole different issue. But I think Peter and his congregation share a lot with us. They have a lot in common. Now, unlike what many people may think, Peter's church was not really a persecuted church. It was just a small town church growing up where it was planted. But there were problems, the same kinds of problems that every community has. And like them, both of us, both we here and them way back then, were living in times of social and political upheaval. And they were really uncertain of what was going to happen next. Those public and personal stresses and our questions lead us to wonder about our own foundations, lead us to question who are we, lead us to question even our faith. There's not one of us, I believe, who has an excess of self-esteem, of knowing exactly where she or he is going. So I'd like to talk about what it is, what helps us to focus on what gives our life meaning and purpose and stability. A couple of years ago, my wife and I were living in Jacksonville, Florida, and I was out in front of our house, diligently watering our garden, sweating like whatever. And two young men, nicely dressed, came up with white shirts, narrow black ties, black slacks, black shoes. After an initial hello and some small talk, one of them looked me straight in the eye and he said, "Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?" That's a question that will drive fear into the heart of every Lutheran. What was unsettling for me about that young man's question was that it felt like he was accusing me of something. For a moment, I panicked. I thought, how can I answer? Look, I'm a Lutheran pastor. I should have an answer to that question, for goodness sake. And a little voice inside of my head told me that I should just simply say yes and hope to pass them on down the road. Yet there was something in that question that went against everything that I was taught as a little kid and what I had come to understand through all these years of being a Lutheran pastor. So, to frustrate these young men, I listened to that other little voice in my head And I said, nope, I have not accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And then began a most interesting conversation. But what was it about that question? First of all, I didn't say no simply to be snarky, to cause an argument. I said no because, as I said, my confirmation pastor had drilled it into our little heads that we do not decide to accept Jesus because Jesus has already accepted us as his daughters and his sons. Now you are God's people, as Peter said. Second, I said no because I've come to understand that my faith is not personal. Faith in Jesus Christ is not tied up here in my heart. My faith, your faith, the faith that we hold dear is the community faith. My faith and your faith have to do with the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body. Like the Ten Commandments, this creed is not a multiple choice, not a menu from which we can pick and choose. It is rather the cement that holds us together, that makes this structure called the people of God. It's what makes us holy, makes us part of the body of Christ. That's what we need to hear, especially in times of turmoil and question and trouble and confusion. Back in the 1930s in Germany, the Nazis were giving the church a lot of trouble. Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran pastor and professor, took a group of 25 seminarians and started a seminary in exile. They lived together, having communal meals and communal study and all of that. He describes that life in a little book called Life Together. And he begins this book by saying, it is not simply to be taken for granted that the Christian has the privilege of living among other Christians. It is by the grace of God that a congregation is permitted to gather visibly in this world to share God's word and sacrament. In other words, none of this church stuff is of our doing or of our decision. We are not held together by our own faith, our own understanding. It is by the grace of God that we are privileged to gather to support each other in troublesome times. Remember, once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. As I said, the Apostle Peter wrote to a congregation that was a whole lot like ours in the midst of social and political troubles and other forces pushing on them. They were uncertain of what their future might be, uncertain of what it meant to be a Christian. Peter said to them, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. It is God's action in Christ that makes us God's people and not our own decision. You and I know that if it were really up to us, we would fail miserably in believing Christ. If it were up to us, none of us would be here today. We are just fooling ourselves if we think we can accept Jesus on our own. So how do you find a center? How do you find a purpose? How do you find the answer when someone accuses you? Have you accepted Jesus? The answer is easy. You just simply say, nope, I've not. Jesus has accepted me. And then you go to that little book, Luther's Small Catechism. You got one? If you don't, get one. In there we hear, I believe that I cannot by my own understanding or effort believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with the gifts, and made me holy. The faith that we have is a gift that comes to us through our ears, not through our own doing or our thoughts. It comes through hearing God's word preached and sung and shared around tables. It comes to us visibly in holy baptism and in the Lord's Supper. Lutherans believe that it is because of God's righteousness and not ours that the Holy Spirit gives us the faith we need to believe. Faith does not simply emerge from the warming of our hearts or the stirring of our emotions. Faith is not ours. We are called by God as God's people, and faith comes through this community. When we gather together in Christ's name, we can be certain that the Spirit is alive and active, working among us. So how do you answer someone who accuses you? Have you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Likewise, the answer is easy, no. My faith does not belong to me. It belongs to the community, to the church, to the body of Christ. Do you recall hearing the saying, God won't give you more than you can handle when someone is in trouble? That's a really quick response, right? When we hear that, we think it applies to us individually. You know, that God will not put more pressure upon me. This phrase is actually from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and what it really says is, God is faithful and will not let you be tested beyond your strength. Now, when we hear that, we think it applies to us individually. We think it's up to us to to tough it out. I can do this with just a little help of Jesus on the side, but it really doesn't work that way. We miss the important part of this passage because we misread that little word, you. The pronoun you is not you singular, it is plural. And that changes everything. I served two congregations in Florida for 7 years, mostly in northern Florida, or all of it, I guess, and learned how to speak Southern a little bit, if you can imagine. They have a perfect word for what Peter is talking about here, and that's the word y'all. God is faithful and will not let y'all be tested beyond y'all's strength. Now, I never got the accent right, but I think I got the meaning right. Our faith is a community thing. It's y'all's faith. We together. So here's how a y'all faith works. Let's say you have a friend who is suffering, physically or emotionally, or who doesn't think that his or her faith is sufficient. And let's say you make a visit to that friend, and maybe your friend says to you, you know, I really have a hard time with this stuff, this church stuff right now. I have a hard time believing. I think I'm going to wait going to church until I feel better about it. And your response is not to argue your friend into believing. Your response is not to deny their feelings of doubt. Your response is simply to say, I hear you. It's okay to not believe. We will believe for you. We will believe for you until you are strong enough to hold this faith with us. For those struggling with what it means to have faith, we live the Christian life for them. Faith is a shared event. The faith that I lack, you have given me. And I mean that honestly. in all the years that my family and I have been members here at Hope Church, we have received faith from you. That's why we come here. Y'all's faith supports my faith. Faith belongs to community, so that one's faith is not weak and another is strong. Christ has called us all to be God's people and has given us faith like a chain that binds us together. In difficult and confusing times such as ours, I found no better description of what it means to be the church than what Peter wrote in his first letter to that young congregation. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, God's own people. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Take your bulletin home and cut out that paragraph from the second reading for the day and put it on your fridge, big magnet on it, and read it each time you reach into that refrigerator. Take it home. It will uphold y'all in troublesome times, in stressful times. In Jesus' name, amen.